I'd be friendless all alone, and I'd be helpless, wouldn't know what to do, and I don't know just what I'd do if the Lord wasn't walking by my side every day. If the Lord wasn't walking by my side.
I do either. Amen. All right, it's time to fight to do right. I've been listening to Brother Johnson have to have you stand up and sit down, and it's time to for you fellas especially. I mean, to be told that a girl has more character than you do, that's a challenge. You know what that's saying? That's saying, hey, put your dukes up and let's fight. And some of you guys just going to sit there and do the same thing. Now, our preacher says something. You know what he says? And there's something to it. Listen on purpose. When we do stuff on purpose, we decide to do it. You can decide that, listen, the sleepies aren't going to get me. I'm going to get everything I need. And Brother Johnson, I love the part about the lion and the bear and describing that with what you guys are going through is not a Goliath. It's a lion and a bear. And if you can't beat the lion and the bear, you're not going to have enough faith to face Goliath when Goliath comes. That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. And you know what? If you had your head in your, reading your badge, you missed it. You missed it. These guys have been a wonderful blessing this week. And I'm going to say something about you. It's been a good spirit here. Now, listen, teenagers fall asleep and stuff, but I tell you what, you've been a very good crowd. And you've taken the challenge. We had a great altar call last night. Had some good split sessions, some good decisions made in those areas. And listen, it's been a wonderful, wonderful week. Listen, I hadn't had to get on too many people. Hadn't had to pull anybody back in the back room and get them in a headlock or anything like that. Make a girl cry. Now, that's a wonderful thing when Brother Davis doesn't have to make a girl cry during. That's just God's working. Amen. So the day's young. Yeah, there we go. But anyway, I'll just let you do it, Jay. But we thank God. I thank God for my little brother-in-law. And yes, he is. But he is, I tell you what, I was telling Brother Johnson, I said, he's got so much talent. I said, I thank God he's on our side. I tell you, I really do. And listen, some of you have as much talent, God-given talent, as he does. And if you'd give it to God, it would enhance it that much more. And I thank God for him. I mean, listen, the skits, the music, the preaching, the passion. This guy's laid it all out for you this week. And Brother Jay, I thank you. Not only as a fellow preacher, but listen, as a family member, thank you for this week. You've been a great blessing to me and our young people into this conference. Won't you come and preach to us?
All right, open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Thank you, Brother Davis. Thank you, Brother Johnson. I think I'd be a better preacher if I had props like this. That is just the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I like the little frillies on the bottom there. Just nifty. Anyway. Okay, I got to figure something out. Somebody said I did not tell the goat joke yet. Have I told the goat joke yet? All right, well, tonight's the night. We'll do the goat joke tonight. That's fine. Well, what did we tell then? We told the cannibal joke? Huh? The Indian joke, but that wasn't one of the four. That's You ever David's Mighty Men? He's got these guys, these guys, these guys. You got just some guys at the top. Those are the four, and then there's a whole hope, but they just don't make it into the top echelon. So we told the pharmacist joke, okay? The Jewish joke, and a cannibal joke. Okay, so we just got one more left. That's a goat joke. Well, I got like a couple of tier two jokes. They're not quite top rung, but they'll do. Y'all want that, or you just want to get straight in the thing this morning? Straight in? Yeah, thank you, Brother Davis. Brother Davis is clocked. I realize I might have been a bit long-winded last night. And I realized that because my wife told me about it all the way back home. I said, honey, how'd I do? She goes, it's hard to get past 82 minutes. I said, but who's counting? I said, no, really, really. She goes, no, I just can't get past that. So God has a way of getting you back in line. I said, honey, I'm going to do better at clock management. She said, are you going to try or are you going to endeavor? I'm like, all right, that's it, woman. Just go away. Forget you. It's all right. My wife always says the same thing about our children. She says, it occurred to me that my children might look like you, but it never occurred to me that our children would act like you. She says that in a derogatory fashion, Brother Smith. She's not being complimentary when she says that. She's looking at me like, see? And so, I'm really the thorn in my wife's flesh. But Brother Johnson, you had it right. I married up. And that's what you want to do, young man. You don't want whatever girl comes along and pays attention to you first. That's not the one you want, okay? And girls are mixed up anymore. It used to be that a girl would wait for a guy to chase after her. Now, she could send out signals with chick telepathy. And you'd pass by and like, hey, wait, I'm feeling something. But girls anymore are like, notice me! Notice me! That's not the one you want. Okay? And it may not be that blatant about it, but when, you know, the hair and the makeup and the clothes and all that, when they're saying notice me with that, that's not good. Okay? Now, it's okay, young lady, to be attractive in a good way. But when you are the pursuer in the relationship, you know, if the guy's so lazy he's not going to follow you after you, or, you know, chase you down anyway, you don't want that. If you've got to do all the chase in the relationship, that means you're going to do all the correction on the kids. That means you're going to have to take care of the finances. You've got to take care of everything. You ain't nothing but a lazy, no good, nothing. All right? So girls, you don't want one you have to chase. And guys, believe me, you don't want one that's chasing you. Okay? She's going to chase you your whole married life. Bible says it's better to dwell on the corner of a house. You know why they're in the corner? They're in the corner with Brother Johnson and me with our baseball bat in a dark room because she's coming. That's why they're in the corner. Lights unscrewed. Please don't find me, woman. And the thing about it is, you're going to have kids like that, so it won't be her chasing you around. It'll be a bunch of little kids chasing you around. It's going to be your family. You want to get a job as a truck driver just to get away from that mess, all right? Yeah. Can I drive trucks to Australia? Get me away from this nonsense. All right, so listen to me, young man. Who you marry will determine in large part the success of your ministry, the success of your children. I was talking to Brother Don Green. Brother Don Green raised a bunch of good kids. And evangelist Tim Green, he's got a bunch of pastors and just good kids, good man. Just mentioned to him one time, say, preach, you raised a bunch of good kids. What do you think the deal was? Without batting an eye, he said, my wife is strong. This is a man of God that prays 4, 5, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours a day. He gets up at 4 and he prays until noon. Now you'd think he would say, it happens because of what happens in my prayer closet. The first thing out of his mouth was, my wife. Did I see that little redhead over there? That little redhead over there was meaner than the big guy next to her sometimes. Okay, I come home from a football game. My dad was one of the coaches. I come home from a football game. My dad's like, okay, son, now let's get that ankle up and let's get that ice down and this and that. And he did some cruel things. I remember one time I got an infection in my knee and he didn't want to send me to the doctor. He's doing the home remedy kit. So he started boiling needles. And he stuck needles in my knee and then pulled that infection out of my knee. And they thought, you know, so dad was into home remedies and that sort of thing. Can we just go to the doctor, dad? No, I can fix that. But I come home and I come home and see my mom. Mom, I'm hurting so bad. She had this one word phrase she'd use. Quit your belly aching. So that's not what moms are supposed to do. Mom's supposed to, Junior, I'll get you some hot tea and some cold compresses, and I'll stroke your fevered brow and rub your... Not my mom. Quit your belly aching. You went out on that field, you knew what you're going to get. Now listen, that's not how she feels, but that's what a young man needed. You understand that? The strength of that woman is the reason, or one of the reasons, that the three kids from that family are in ministry today. You listen to me, young man. You're not just picking a girl because, she's just good looking. And I'm not saying you ought to pick ugly just, you know, to be spiritual. I know this is from God because I'd have never picked that in my whole life, I tell you for sure. But you better pick a woman that's got some spunk. Hey, you better pick a woman that's got some mental horsepower. I went out with a girl one time. And I said something to her. She said, what do you mean by that? I said, it's a pretty straightforward question. Well, what do you mean by that? Okay, let's try something else. Well, what do you mean by that? And after a while, I mean, she's pretty, you know, easy on the eyes and all that. But after a while, all I could see was my children coming around going, so what do you mean by that? That old Arkansas, hey, Didi, what do you mean by that? Hey, don't be intimidated by a smart girl. Okay? It's all right. You know, well, I just want to be king genius in my household. It's not going to happen, all right? You know that by now. Okay? Don't be intimidated by a smart girl. Okay? Look, and start watching now. And Susie Floozy and the rest of the girls who are, you know, just... and they're always smacking their gum. That's not what you want. Okay? You find that girl that's spiritual. And you find that girl that is consecrated. You find that girl that's right with God. Look at me. You'll never regret it for a day. But Johnson's right. My wife is not an anchor on my ministry. My wife is an asset to my ministry. And behind every great man, there's a great woman telling him why his tie and his shirt don't match. Amen. All right, that's good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Book of Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse 9. Let's stand up one more time. The sighs. Coming from the guys. This is so hard, having to stand up and down like this. And my legs, they're tense. The muscles in my legs, they're so tense. No more sighing, guys. It's not becoming. Let me help you guys. Don't roll your eyes as a young man. Okay? You look like a queer. I'm serious. I'm sick to death of young men who flip their head back and roll, whatever. Right? I just want to pull my belt off and whip you for an hour and a half. I really do. Some of you need to get dirty. Some of you need to get beat up. Some of you need to have just nasty things happen to you for about 6 weeks where you realize you can take it because you are afraid of life. You don't deal with things like a man. You don't buck up. You don't get tough. You don't deal with it. Oh, whatever. You just need, listen, don't cock your head. Don't get an attitude. Don't get a poochie. You got to learn to take the dressing down like a man. You never gotten one. Why don't you grab some old man of God? I mean, Brother Johnson would be perfect for this. Say, Brother Johnson, would you just chew me out till there's nothing left on me anywhere? Just chew me out. I want to learn it. And he'll do it. He'll enjoy it. It will be cathartic for him. Grab Brother Smith and say, hey, just chew me out. I mean, listen. His staff is like, oh, yeah, he can do it. He can do it. That's right. He can do it. He's the man. You ought to do that. I worked for a man. That can go from zero to brutal in no time flat. I'm glad I was raised by a man or I couldn't deal with that. I promise you. If I hadn't learned to deal with that, you know what? I just think, hey, I've dealt with this before. I'll deal with this again. It'll all be over in a minute. Just keep smiling saying, yes, sir. Ooh, man, that hurt. Man, he just, wow, he called me that? Yikes. Wouldn't it be great if at the end of it I went, whatever. You ready? His head, my head. There we go. That's how that works. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. I want to talk about the abominable scorner today. The abominable scorner. I have never tried this on anybody before. You are the first. If it flops, I'll never do it again. The abominable scorner. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our time in the Word of God today. I pray that we would learn something. Grab a hold of our hearts. Grab a hold of our heads. Grab a hold of our future. Grab a hold of our perspective. I pray that you just twink the whole thing, Father. I pray that you would recalibrate our thinking to be in tune with the Word of God. Holy Spirit of God, I ask for you to fill me. And Lord, I know this is a message that you have for these folks today. You impressed upon my heart a long time ago. And I pray that the message would be a blessing, a challenge, and do a work that I cannot do in the hearts of people. Thank you for the message we've already heard and what we're going to hear from Brother Smith. God, just bless him, empower him. Thank you for a man of God that stood firm all these years. What an example he is to every young man who has any aspirations to ministry at all. They can look at a man of God like this and say, that's what I want to be. And Lord, I thank you for those examples that you've allowed to cross my path, and I pray that you bless him as he speaks. Bless me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Tier 2 joke. Ducks flying south. Quack, 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 quack. Hey. One duck gets a little curious about the whole flying south thing, so he flies over next to another duck and he says, hey, why are you flying south? And he goes, my instincts tell me to fly south. Okay. So he flies over here next to another duck and he goes, hey, why are you flying south? My instincts, they tell me to fly south. Because that's what the last duck said. Well, I don't know what to tell you. My instincts tell me to fly south. Whatever. So he flies over here. He flies up next to this other duck and he goes, why are you flying south? He says, my instincts, they tell me to fly south. He says, stop a minute. My instincts, too, but it's never talked to me. Amen. That's wicked. That's awful. That's terrible. Brother Ballard told me that joke, and he told me it'd be okay if I told it this week. And that's why it's a tier 2 joke, all right? It just didn't make it up with the rest of them. How many of you actually got that joke just now? Okay, there's a great middle down the middle right here. My instincts, but it's never talked to me. Amen. I have a feeling that about 10 minutes into the message, somebody's going to go, ha-ha! All right, we got to get rolling. The scorner is an abomination to men, the abominable scorner. Now, what is a scorner? A scorner is first a fool. Now, a fool is someone who knows what is right, but chooses to do the opposite. Of course, in the book of Proverbs, and you've probably heard this before, there are several different characters mentioned. There's the simple person. This guy's ignorant, knows nothing, okay? How many in here are sophomores? Okay, sophomores in college, sophomores in high school. Do you know what the word sophomore means? Know nothing. That's flattering, isn't it? Hey. I'm a proud sophomore. That means you're a proud moron. I love it, all right? Now, the simple person knows, he does not know better. The Bible says the simple pass on and they're destroyed. You know why? Because they don't know any better. They just walk like a sheep to the shearers or to the an ox to the slaughter. They don't know any better. They just walk, you know, hey, everybody's going this way, so I'm going this way. And they don't realize the implications of the choices they're making. They're simple. All right? Now we move over here, and we have the wise person. What is a wise person? Wise person is someone who knows better and chooses to act on that knowledge. The wise person knows better and does better. So the simple person knows what? Nothing. The wise person knows right and chooses to do right, okay? Now, over here in the middle, we have the fool. The fool is not a simple person because he's no longer ignorant. He knows what is right, but he chooses to do what is wrong. So the fool knows what is right, and he chooses to do what is wrong. Now, a fool on steroids, though, a souped-up fool is a fool who's no longer making just personal bad choices. He's mocking the wise choices of the wise. Okay? He stepped beyond just being a personal fool, and he's now a scorner because he's mocking the wise. He's looking at the wise person, and he said, that's stupid. He's looking at the wise person and said, that's retarded. You're not having any fun. And the by the way, simple people fixate on scorners. If you ever see a scorner, the scorners are not predominant. In fact, in this room, there's a small percentage of scorners. But scorners always have an entourage, and that entourage is made up of primarily either fools or simple people. Listen, scorners prey on ignorance. They count on you being ignorant. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. God says it's important that you have knowledge. That's why you ought to read a book every now and again. Okay? One, without pictures. I'm serious. We are losing it. I talk to young men sometimes they're going to ministry, and I use the Sword Searcher and the Theophilus and all that. That's a great thing. And you know, 1001 illustrations. But you ought to read a book because there's something about the pursuit of knowledge, looking for it, finding it. God will give you 10 things you weren't looking for if you'll read a book. It's amazing. Illustration after illustration after illustration that I get in preaching. I get in reading books just because I think it's a good idea to know about history, or it's a good idea to know about finances. And God gives me all kinds of extra things that I wasn't necessarily looking for when I read the book. Read a book. We're losing that in this culture. We all just all day long click, 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 click. Put it down. Check out of the whole digital world. Put your iPod down, put your iPhone down, put your MP3 player down, turn your computer off, and pick up a book. We're losing that. It's amazing. You go in the average fundamental library anymore, you look around, there's a bunch of books and they ain't read none of them. It's just window dressing. Read a book. Now, that's a tangent, but it might help you to... I have to be done. Read a book. Could you just write that down somewhere? Read a book. And if you want an explanation, come see me later. Read a book. Because scorners prey on ignorance. They come to you and they say, this is the way something is. And they're counting on the fact that you don't know the truth. And they always prey on ignorance. They look for somebody and they say, hey, do you know about brother such and such? And they're counting on the fact that you don't. And the scorner always looks for the ignorant person. Here's the deal. When you're around a scorner, you need to ask yourself this question. Why am I with this guy? Why are you with a scorner? I'll tell you why you're with a scorner. Because you're ignorant. That's why you're with a scorner. Because if you knew better. Well, now look. When the scorner talks about somebody, he says, hey, do you know what Brother Reed did? Okay? He comes to you. He's always, you know, gossipy and... And you know what Brother Reed was thinking. Here's a beautiful thing. Are you ready? My mind is so mixed up and jumbled up that sometimes I have no clue why I do things. Have you ever done something and go, and somebody asks, why'd you do that? And you go, oh. Have you ever done that? Come on, help me out. Has anybody ever done something and you got done and somebody said, what'd you do that for?
I don't know.
Teenagers are great, man. They're the smartest people in the room when they leave. As a parent, you're like, okay, you know, I'm a youth pastor. Okay, have you thought about this? Oh, yeah, I know. You thought about this? I know. Have you thought about this? Yeah, I know. Okay, well, what about this? Yeah, I know. 24 hours later, they've just made a human catastrophe on the magnitude of Hiroshima, and you're over here, and you say, okay, why'd you do this?
I don't know.
24 hours before, I know. Boom! Why'd you do that?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, 24 hours before, you had everything I tried to warn you about. You know. Now we're over here.
Oh, no.
It's amazing how smart can turn into dumb in just a little while. But sometimes I do things and I don't even know about it. But you know there are scorners that know exactly why I did it. They'll say, do you know why Brother Reed did that? And I'm sitting over here thinking, I don't know. This will be news to me. Tell me why I did it. Listen. Whenever you start diving into someone else's motivation, you're on dangerous ground because you have no clue why they did what they did, but the scorner always knows. And the scorner is banking on the fact that you're going to be ignorant. When you're around a scorner, he is preying on your ignorance. Now, there is no redeeming grace found in the life of the scorner, and the Bible gives no cure for what ails him. You look in Scripture. I read every reference to a scorner in all of Scripture, and there's nowhere in the Bible where God says, hey, scorner, here's how you fix your problem. There's no cure. Now, if you are a scorner in here, you could come to God and beg for mercy, and maybe God would do something miraculous in you, but you listen to me, read the Scripture, and there's no cure for scorning. Someone gets that wicked, that vile, where they're taking shots at the youth pastor, taking shots at the assistant pastor, taking shots at the preacher, taking shots at the special speaker, taking shots at their parents. When somebody gets that vile and that wicked and that brazen, God just about draws the line and says, hey, you've gone too far. And Brother Johnson, it's amazing what people will do in your face while you're preaching anymore. It is just amazing. It never occurred to me that I could carry on a conversation while a man of God was preaching. But they'll do it. No compunction. No. Like they're on a park bench. Like they're on another world. While you're preaching. It's insane. And God says, it's almost as if God draws a line and says, hey, you cross over that scorner line. You start taking pot shots at every authority in your life. Hey, listen to me. The powers that be are ordained of God. Every level of leadership in your life is from God. And when you take the gift of God, spiritual leadership of your life, and you hold it in disrepute, and not only hold it in disrepute, but begin to run your mouth against it, God says, fine, you take the leadership I give you in your life, and you throw it aside, and you kick it, and you knock it, and you're not just content to do that. You rope someone else in, and you get them to kick it, and you get them to knock it. You do that, God says, fine, do your own thing. I don't care. See that man of God over there? That man of God is a gift. The pastor is a gift to the church, and when you take the gift of God and trample it under your feet because you get sideways about something that he preaches, God says, fine, do your own thing. I don't care. That happens. Listen to me. You may think it's a light thing to run your mouth, but God doesn't see it that way. You find God killing Israelites in the wilderness, 9 times out of 10, they're running their mouth. Have you ever heard of the principle of collateral damage? That means I drop a bomb here.
He said, you drop a bomb a lot. You preach, you're dropping bombs. I'll shut up. I hate you too.
Boom! I want to blow up the rail yard. But there's also a subdivision next to the rail yard. I don't want to blow up the subdivision, but it gets blown up. You know why? Help me out. Collateral damage, right? It's not my intention, but they just happen to be there. God's going to take out the scorners in your youth group. You know what I wouldn't be? I wouldn't be in any proximity to them. I would get as far away from them as I possibly could so God doesn't accidentally hit me with a side bolt. I've got a tree in my front yard, and it is dead, D-E-D, dead. And I had an arborist come out, and I had an arborist come out, and he said, the tree next to it got hit by lightning. The tree next to it was a big red oak. And it's just this little bitty stupid tree over here next to it that's really dead. The red oak got hit by lightning. Lightning traveled through the red oak, into the ground, into the root system, knocked a few limbs on, killed some of the growth up here, but it went through the root system and overcame the tree next to it and killed the tree. It didn't even strike. Some of you are going to get your fool head knocked off because God's going to deal with one of your friends. You're going to be in close proximity. I wonder how many kids were riding around with a scorner in a car and got in an accident. I steer real clear of the scorner. So, we must look at first how scorners are formed. And then we'll look at the judgment awaiting scorners. And then thirdly, we'll look at how to biblically deal with a scorner. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Number one, how are scorners formed? Number one, simple people are never scorners in their heart, but they can be bullied into scorning by the crowd mentality. Most people don't walk around angry at the world. Most people that are simple don't walk around thinking, boy, I want to say something nasty about someone today. I really do. I want to spread a vicious rumor, hurt someone's reputation, and damage them for life. Most people don't walk around thinking that way. Scorners do, but simpletons don't. So simpletons, scorners don't come from the rank of the simple, but a simple can be pushed into being or scorning on a temporary basis, but it's not who they are. So where do scorners come from if they don't come from simple? Scorners are always developed from the ranks of the fool. When someone knows better and they choose not to do what's right, they're a fool. And that's where scorners come from. Listen to me, young person. Every time, the Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Every time light comes into your life, you can either choose to accept it or reject it. That's what you've done every message it's preached so far. You've either accepted the light that God gave you via that message or you've rejected it, but there's no middle ground. Okay? And when you reject that light and refuse to act on that light, you still have that light, you're now a fool. And when you're a fool, now you're a candidate to be a scorner. Now hang on just a minute. You're always going to see a proximity between fools and scorners in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? So the simple ones are going to stay in their area of simples. Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So the fool and the scorner are always in proximity to each other. Scorners always have an overdeveloped sense of self-import. They always think they're more important than they are. Proverbs 21 and verse 24 says, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Usually it's someone with a world of potential and they know it. Usually scorners are pretty intelligent. Okay, it's not the dumb kid. Oh yeah? Well, you're stupid too. That's not the scorner. The scorner is usually much more sophisticated, much more worldly wise. They have talent. It's amazing. Brother Davis, the scorners that I know and have met through the years are some of the most talented people you'll ever meet in your life. They're talented musically. They're talented artistically. They're talented athletically. They're talented intellectually. They got all this talent in the world, and they know it. Now listen to me. God may have given you 5 talents or 10 talents or whatever, but that had nothing to do with you. Do you understand that? That's something that is a gift from God, and just because God gives one guy 1 talent and gives one guy 10 talent doesn't mean you ought to peacock around if you got 10. You better stay humble or God might take away what he gave you. Usually someone with a world of potential and they know it. Next, they are driven by anger. If you look at the end of Proverbs 21 and verse 24, it says, they deal in proud, what's the next word? Wrath. Wrath. They're angry. Something happens along the way that makes them angry. Maybe their parents got sideways. Maybe they got sideways with an authority. Maybe something unfair happened in their life. Listen to me. Let me help you with something. Maybe your parents try to shelter you from unfair. Maybe they do that, okay? But you listen to me. Look up here right now. Everybody look up here right now. Unfair is the nature of life. You understand that? And if your parents are the type that step between you and everything unfair, they always have to go see the teacher, they always have to go see the principal, they always have to go see the pastor or the youth pastor and fix all your stuff, they are training you to live in a world that does not exist. You understand me? The world is unfair, and if you've got people, maybe it's well-meaning people, but it doesn't matter, who are always, listen to me, young man, listen to me, young man, if you can go home and gripe about this or that, and your parent immediately jumps on their horse and rides to your rescue, they are enabling you to be a dependent the rest of your life. Hey, boy, deal with your own stuff. Look at me. Deal with your own stuff. The fact that your mom has to go sort out all your issues in life doesn't bode well for your future. Deal with your own stuff. The world is unfair. Get used to it. Learn how to get up when you get knocked down, fairly or unfairly. Let me tell you how unfair the world is. The very Son of God who did no sin died in your place so that you could go to heaven. There's the height of unfair. Fair is I should be in hell with my back broken. Unfair is Jesus died and paid for every one of my sins. I'll take unfair every day of the week. But something happened. You got anger building up. You got resentment building up and bitterness building up. You cannot control what happens to you, but you can control how you deal with it. And the scorner always has an anger issue. He's always got a reason behind his scorning. Proverbs 22 and verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You better stay away from these people who got all this anger in them. Stay away. Don't forget the principle of collateral damage. Next, underneath how scorners are formed, they do not see the seriousness of their problem, or they're not inclined to change their ways. They will not change. They will not change. They don't think what they're doing is that big of a deal. You can't ever convince a scorner of the far-reaching implications of their scorn, of their gossip, of the stuff that you can't. They don't think it's a big deal. They always think what the other person's doing a big deal, and they're doing some sort of service for God by spreading the word. Now look at me. Look at me. Look at me. We're not going to convince scorners this morning. I'll say a word to them in just a minute, but you're not going to convince them. You can't change them. Stay away from them. Mark that down in your little, just mark it down in your head. Stay away. When you walk near somebody and they start spouting off about the authority, well, you know the youth pastor, he's out to get us, and you know the Christian school teacher, and the principal, and the pastor, when they start doing that, you better take three big steps back. Okay, you're not, I wouldn't go near them. And then last, underneath how they're formed, they will not be corrected. Proverbs 9 and verse 8, reprove not a scorner. Bible says don't even try. You're not going to fix them. Okay? You can't mouth whip them into shape. Just stay away from them. Number two, let's look at the judgments awaiting scorners. They're formed from the ranks of fools. They're formed from people who are talented but have an overestimated sense of self-importance or importance. They're driven by anger, and they do not see the seriousness of the problem they're involved in. You can't ever convince a scorner of what's going on. Number two, here are the judgments that are awaiting scorners. Number one, they can't make or maintain friendships. A scorner, Proverbs 15, verse 12, a scorner loveth not them that reprove him, neither will he go unto the wise. So he's already cut out two people he can't be groups with, or he can't be in a group with. He's just cut out people that are wise. He's also cut out people who are going to try to help them. Okay? He doesn't want help. He's happy in his scorning. The Bible says, how long will the scorners delight in their scorners? They enjoy their lifestyle. They don't want anybody to change things. And so they're going to stay away from people who are the kind of friends who are going to change that. And listen, if you don't have the right kind of friends, you're going to have the wrong kind of friends. The problem with wrong friendships is they don't last. Scorners, the reason scorners can't stay in any group long is because they don't just confine their scorning to the leadership. They'll turn their scorn on you. And they can't maintain any friendship in life. That's a judgment of God on their friendship. Watch this. They're only able to respond to physical or verbal abuse, and then not very well. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:25, smite a scorner. In Proverbs 21, when the scorner is punished. And you see over and over again, the only remedy Scripture has is just knock them back. Okay? You're not going to fix them, and so they can't be corrected. Let me tell you something, young person. When you can't be corrected, you're in trouble. Let me illustrate. I'm driving down the road, right? You know what I'm doing constantly while I'm driving down the road? What am I doing? I'm making minor corrections to the vehicle path. I'm not, I'm not doing that when I drive down the road. What am I doing? You know what that is? That's a correction. It's minor, but it's important. Don't do that. Lock the cruise control in on 75 miles an hour. Take your hands off the steering wheel and see where things go. Now, wait. Get your car perfectly aligned first. Get a new one off the lot. Fine. Pick what you like, but just take your hands off the wheel, lock in the cruise control, and where are we going to end up? We're going to have big trouble, aren't we? Big fireball, EMT, jaws of life, all that sort of thing, right? Why? Because no correction. Nobody likes correction, but you look at me, everybody needs it. When you don't get that correction, you're going to make a big fireball and a big traffic jam. That's going to be your life. Now look up here at me. Look up here at me right now. The scorner, one of the judgments of God on the scorner is they will not be corrected. If you cannot be corrected, you are going to make a mess of things. Period. A scorner never receives correction because they don't think that they need it. Another judgment of God on the scorner is they lose the ability to gain wisdom. Proverbs 14 and verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. At some point as a scorner, you're going to look out and say, all right, I'm making some really bad choices. I need to change some things. I need to get some wisdom. At some point, you're going to seek wisdom, but as a scorner, you'll never find it. A scorner seeketh wisdom. He realizes he has a need in his life. He realizes he's making some tragic mistakes. He's messing up relationship left and right, but he cannot find the wisdom that he's looking for. One of the other judgments on scorners is they are hated by an ever-increasing group of former associates. Proverbs 24 and verse 9, our text verse. If you want to look back at that real quick, Proverbs 24 and verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is what? What's the next word? Abomination. Now, is abomination a pretty strong word? The scorner is an abomination to men. Abomination, when God gets upset at something, gets angry at something, he really wants to judge something, he wants to make a point, I really don't like this, he says, it's what? An abomination. Now look up here. The scorner becomes an abomination to all those around him. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. The scorner is an abomination. Come up here, brother. You can be my scorner. Okay? Right here. What's your name? Jacob. All right, this is Jacob the scorner. All right, come here. You're going to be Jacob's son. Scandal was born. All right, you can be Jacob's brother. All right? You're going to be Jacob's uncle. Okay, you're going to be Jacob's boss. Come on, man, move it. This is not that Jesus said. Just get moving. All right, here we go. You're going to be Jacob's best friend. Okay? You're going to be Jacob's wife. All right, all of us have a circle of friends, influence, associate. We got friends, we got family, and all that. But you know what you are? You're a scorner. And that scorn begins to tear up the relationship in your life, so off goes your son. Okay? That scorn begins to mess up things at work, so off goes your boss. That scorn begins to mess up things in your family, so off goes your uncle. What were you? Okay? What were you? That scorn begins to mess up things in the family even more, and even you offend your brother, but your friend and your wife are still hanging around. But this ain't easy, is it? It's getting harder, right? That guy's really annoying the fire. You know why? Constant vindictive, constant invective, constant nastiness out of his mouth. Finally, you've had enough. That's it. Forget it. See you later. Last, his wife is hanging in there. She's an ugly woman. She doesn't think she has any other prospects. So she hangs in as long as she can, but finally, that's it. She's done. Bye-bye. It's a lonely life of the scorner. Listen, they'll surround themselves with fools and simple people, but all the relationships, all the close ones where you can be yourself and you can feel that deep love, all those relationships he's chased off. And even though he may still have an entourage, this is a lonely cat right here. He's an abomination to men. Everybody that knows him, to know him is to hate him. Have a seat, wicked scorner. And tell the rest of you, Jesus didn't say, all you people have a seat. Just the scorner. We're not even going to try to deal with him. We're going to cast him out. All right, you can be seated. Don't go to sleep. Lastly, they are on the docket to be judged by God. Listen, just because God doesn't judge the scorner instantaneously, he runs his mouth for a few years, a few months, a few weeks, it doesn't matter. The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind surely. He that being often reproved, God will give you enough rope to hang yourself slick. He that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed at a moment not of your choosing. Wah! That without remedy. We see that they're to be smitten. These are the judgments by God. They're to be smitten. Smite the scorner. Proverbs 19. They're to be punished when the scorner is punished. Proverbs 21. They're to be banished. Cast out the scorner. Proverbs 22. They're set for destruction. Isaiah 29. And they're going to be scorned by God. The Bible says, surely he scorneth the scorners. He'll give them a taste of their own medicine. Those are the judgments for the scorner. Lastly, how do I biblically deal with the scorner? Number one, you better get this one, stay away. Stay away. The Bible says, cast out a scorner. Cast him out of your group. Cast him out of your class. Cast him out of your room. Cast him out of your car. When someone starts scorning, you better get away from that because you might have a recessive scorning gene in your life. You might decide you like scorning and become one. You better get away from the scorner. The only thing that'll spare you from the wrath of that sucker is distance. Get away! Someone wants to run their mouth, wants to run down the youth pastor, wants to run down the preacher, wants to run down their parents. I'd get a long way away from that nonsense. You know, there is one cure for the scorner. If there's no one to listen, they really don't talk much. When he's all alone, he doesn't have the entourage. Well, I'll tell you about Brother Reed. I'll tell you about Pastor Johnson. I'll tell you about Pastor Smith. You know what? If there's no one to listen, there's not a lot of talking going on. The number one cure is to cast out the scorner. Number two, and you'll like this one, the Bible says in Proverbs 19, smite a scorner. You know where it's been a long time since I've seen Brother Johnson? I hadn't seen a good fist fight between teenage young men. We're so stinking passive and pansy anymore. I'd love to see a good fist fight between a couple of young men. You know, maybe you'd get yourself thrown out of school for a couple of weeks, but at least you know how to use your fists. Everybody's just anger management and happiness and joy and flower life. Man, look, you're a young man. Okay, there ought to be some testosterone in you. Every once in a while, when someone starts scoring and you say, shut up, and they don't listen, you say, God, I warned him. Bam! I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Smite a scorner. I'd love to have a couple fights in my youth department, Brother Davis, because a couple of kids say, you're not going to be a scorner in this youth. I'd be tickled pink. Now, I'd act real reverent. You know, now you can't just go around solving the problem with your fist. That would be me. I'd love the idea of someone that passionate about knocking down the scorner. I'd love it. Smite a scorner. Number three, don't waste your breath. Alter your countenance. You're not going to talk him out of being a scorner. Don't even try it. Don't say, hey, that scorning is destructive and it's hurting everyone around you and you need to stop and maybe you could get some help or read a book on overcoming scorning in your life. Don't waste your breath. The Bible says that there are judgments prepared for scorners. God already has it lined up how he's going to fix that problem. Don't do it. But he does say this, an angry countenance drives away the backbiting tongue. Listen to me, when someone comes around with scorn and they try to get in your ear with that stuff, you ought to put on the angry, you know, Mr. Angry Eyes. Try being angry. Can you be angry?
Oh, I really have a hard time with anger. I'm more into like happy-go-lucky, joyful type things.
Hey! Get angry! Some young lady, listen to me. I realize that you know, you went to Emily post-finishing school and all that, and you're just all about, oh, I'm proper, I'm prim, and look at me, I can walk with a book on my head. I'm glad you can do that. But when some little gossip scorner gets near you, why don't you look at them with that stare you're going to give your husband one day? Amen. There ought to be no quarter for scorners. When they get around you, there ought not to be one vibe that comes from your body that says what you're saying is okay. Amen. They ought to get mid-sentence and go, hey, this ain't welcome here. Whoa, hey, hey, sorry, Kemosabe, realize, no, 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 whoa, whoa. The reason people come to you with gossip all the time is because they know you'll take the trash. Some of you better put a no dumping sign on your ear and a no dumping face between your ears. Not here, pal. I don't want to be near you when the lightning bolt falls. You understand me? And if you don't think lightning bolts fall and judge people, go to California. Now listen to me. I'll say this and I'm done. If you're a scorner in here today, I don't see in Scripture how you can be helped. But if I were you, I would come and throw myself on the mercy of God and say, God, I've been running down everything. I've been running down my parents. I've been running down my church. I've been running down my preacher. I've been running down my youth pastor. I've been running down everybody else down. I'm sick of living this lifestyle. Would you have mercy? I would throw myself at the mercy of God this morning. That's what I wouldn't go another day like that. But let me tell you something, pal. You reap what you sow. And the Bible says God scorneth the scorner. It's coming around. And just because it didn't come around this week don't mean it won't come around next. And if I were in company with the scorner, I'd take about five big steps backwards, and I would never give them the idea again that it's okay to dump your trash in my ear. You better get some distance between you and that scorner, because when the judgment falls, I don't want to be collateral damage. It's time to cast out the scorner. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would impress this truth upon the hearts of young people in this room. May there be no quarter for the scorner, Father. May there be no impression given by any young person, this is okay, this will go on, I'm the person you need to talk to. I pray that we would cast out the scorner from our friend group, cast out the scorner. I pray that there would just be some isolated people in youth groups that are scorners, and that they would see the destructive nature of their craft and throw themselves on the mercy of God. I pray that some scorner sometime throughout the day would say, God, I'm sick of this lifestyle, I'm sick of the invective and the ugliness, and I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm begging for your mercy. I pray that somebody would do that today. Change your life, change your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, brother.